Thank you for downloading the Elohim Church podcast. This morning's word is brought by Pastor Lynn Eveson. For more information, please visit our website at elohimchurch.com.
And it's one of the changes. It's a mystery, isn't it? I don't actively believe in transubstantiation, but I do believe that the meal that God gave for us is for us to remember, according to his word, that he has given himself for us. And in that we can have a sure and certain sense of the change that he's bringing about in us, the change that he wants to see in us. He's given us all we need to access that change. But change doesn't come easily, does it? Some people have a hard time with change. We're kind of creatures of habit, aren't we, in the flesh? But God wants us to reform our habits and understand that the only thing that's here to stay is change. We saw that the only thing that stayed in the can things change question and things can change declaration, the only thing that stayed in its place was change. So you can be assured that God is in the business of changing you from glory to glory, and he wants us to get used to change. And one day we're not going to be earthbound, we are heaven-bound, and we should live as though we were already in that place. And so that means a change of thinking, a change of attitude, a change of focus sometimes. And the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is a book about change. God speaks and something changes. Every Sunday when the word of God goes forth, he's speaking, something should change. In fact, everything should change. If we believe that the word works, it's working in us and it's changing us. Two people are understanding this. Obviously too deep, theological and challenging. It must be the word change. But the Bible is a book about change. And we see a God who turns things around. We saw that he turned the question into a declaration. The Bible is a book of change. God is a God of turnaround. Just remember that. And he's changing things for your good. And he's turning things around for your good in his purpose. Sometimes the change that we want to see doesn't come as quickly as we'd like to see it, but it does come. And I was thinking that one of the toughest and worst case scenarios in the Bible might well have been, I wouldn't say would have been, but might well have been in Ezekiel 37, that great story about the valley of the dry bones. And there's Ezekiel, how he must have felt hearing God say, look at this. Well, right. And then God asks him the, like, eternally expensive question. Can these bones live? Only you know, O God, seems to me a good answer. It's one I use. Only you know, O God, it's a good answer. But Ezekiel was willing to believe that they could change because God was saying something. And so when I say only you know, God, I'm willing to see something change, and I'm understanding that something is going to change because God is speaking. And you too might be facing something like a valley of dry bones. Something might look hopelessly impossible. Can you imagine a valley full of dry bones? And the word actually says that they were very dry. You might be feeling very dry right now, but God can change that. He is in the business of changing that. And I just had this mass gory picture of all these bones. Can you imagine? I couldn't imagine it in my worst nightmare. And all these dry bones aren't going to be in alignment. They're going to be all over the place because the carrion and the vultures are going to have been in there. So they're not like all lined up, nice and handy, ready to stand up. The valley's full of dry bones all over the place. So that meant, unless it was going to be a very difficult realignment, that those bones needed to come into alignment. Oh, Brian, you're so quick. I knew there was a reason I'd married you. with the right other bones. It's that great song, isn't it? The hip bone's connected to the thigh bone, but I won't sing any more for you, which you'll be thrilled about. But if you can think about your hand deciding, oh, I'm going to connect to the ankle bone. Not going to work. Tony, you're quick as well, isn't it? If you can imagine the foot deciding to go in the mouth, well, maybe some people need one in there with a sock on it. But anyway, it wouldn't work, would it? It had to come into alignment, first of all, with the purpose of God. Something had to shift, and God looked for a man to prophesy it. And as soon as he was obedient, he was like, only you know this, oh God. I can just imagine Ezekiel being like, come on, God, you can do it. I know you can. Only you know. And so God gets him to speak out the words of change. Yeah. Ezekiel spoke out and something changed. Yeah. Ezekiel declared the word of the Lord, as the song says. And something changed because it was the word of the Lord and because it was changing death to life. It was changing hopelessness to hope. It was changing desolation to something productive. Oh, that's how the word of God always works. That's where the word of God works. It's the seed and it will not work otherwise. The word of God is productive. It brings change. Even when the man of God speaks it, if it's God's word, the God of the man performs it. Now, that is one awesome transaction. That is one amazing partnership. That is a glimpse of all that is possible with God. Oh, can you see those bones coming together? You don't even need to see them because they rattled. Whoa, so they made a great noise. Well, you can imagine, can't they? Shove over, that's my spine. Get off, that's my knee bone. Move over, because this is my arm. And God brings that into alignment. Yeah. He didn't just do it for fun. I'm sure it was fun, because it's always fun with God. It might be a challenge, but good things are coming out of it. But God did it for a purpose, so something could arise. And army. I don't know how it happened, but it happened. Ezekiel watched it. And it happened. It happened in the spirit, and it was causing an alignment in the natural as well. And that army stood up. It wasn't just a skeleton. It was fully equipped. Sinew, bone, joint, marrow, muscle, flesh. I'd like to think there were some good-looking guys there. Because God makes everything good. It looks good if God does it. It looks good. And they were fully equipped. They weren't just an army not equipped. So the purpose that God had got for this army came with the arising. They arose and were fully equipped. If God equips you, you're an army that's moving in victory. I just want to shift this kind of poverty, poor me, defeatist mentality out of the church. It does not belong in the church. God equips the army for victory. And he leads them in triumph. And he makes things happen. Change happens, moves happen. And God's in the midst of it when he speaks. And when the people and the prophetic voice is heard and the people obey. Wow. In the minute that Ezekiel finished prophesying the breath, that army arose. What had been desolation, destruction, and despair became something glorious. I believe it was an army terrible with banners. I believe it was an army on the march. Did anybody see Anton Deck's Saturday night thingy last night? I can't even remember what it's called. Take away, that's it. Well, I did take something away. I watch it so I can chat with my granddaughter. Because she adores it. And sometimes, you know, when you're in your mid-60s, like linking with a seven-year-old can be a bit tricky. Especially one that's clued up full on and you want them to see Jesus. Well, I watched it last night and I was riveted at the end. Did anybody see the end? The drums, the drummers. Oh, it was amazing. It was incredible, wasn't it? I was like, oh. Well, that's how I imagine God's army was, because at the end, the drumsticks were on fire. They just kind of, they were on fire. They were wheeling round together. They were marching together. They were drumming in time. They were drumming on one another's drums. They were kneeling on the floor and drumming and standing up and drumming. And man, like something stirred in me. It was stirring. It was, you know, you just heard the sound of the army of the Lord. That's what I heard. That's what I saw. And it was amazing. It was awesome. The synchronicity, the unity, the absolute devotion to practice must have been gobsmacking, because everything was just perfect. And do you know what? Ant and Dec were in the middle of it. That really blew my mind, because they must have, I mean, they make everything look easy, don't they? They make everything look as if it's a big joke, a big laugh, and they are great entertainers. But they stood with that army of drummers and they drummed in perfect timing. It was amazing. If you can get it on iPlayer or what have you, just really watch the drums. I guarantee something is going to cause you to go, wow. Something arises because, you know, God puts armies into place. Look at the rabble around you. Have a quick look. Have a quick look around. You're it. You're the army. You're it. You're the ones raised from the dead. You're bone that's come together with bone. You have come into a place of working for the purpose of God. And something is getting ready to change. The atmosphere is going to shift. Things are going to move because God has said so. Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited about the change. I am really excited. I mean, some changes are practical. Some are just logistical. But the real change is spiritual. The change in the atmosphere. When we prayed this morning, something shifted in the atmosphere. Three of us think so. Wow. The miracle working power of God is released when we line up with what he wants. And listen to this, when our language changes. When our language changes and we speak what God speaks, something happens. Something changes. Ezekiel might well have been thinking, oh God, why did you pick on me? There's plenty of other prophets to set this challenging question to. But he did what God asked him to do. He spoke what God told him to speak, and I believe he spoke exactly that and nothing else. And when our vision is the same as God's, we see what God can see. And then we recognize and realize why we're doing what we're doing. And it doesn't matter how many hours we have to spend in practice, we are going to be part of the drumming team. Our drumsticks are going to be on fire, James. Find out how to do that. Don't tell in this health and safety. Scrub that off the thing. Don't let the insurance in. I just want to see that fire set off in the people of God, because they see what God sees. Maybe Ezekiel couldn't see it. He was into the only you know God. Whoa. But he believed God. He believed God. And he spoke what God had him speak. And his language was good. He spoke life. You didn't hear him going, oh, poor me, I've got to do all this. Oh, I don't really think it's going to work. Why should I have to do this? I do not think that was his thinking or his attitude. He was up for the change that God was about to bring about. That was just the preamble. This is the message. And the title is Things Can Change. And we're going to look in in Colossians 1. So rattle your Bibles, although I have got it on a PowerPoint. simply because I used a New Living Translation version, especially for Stephen Parker. So Colossians 1, verse 12 to 14 says this: give joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. If that was the only verse that you'd got in your Bible, you could celebrate every minute of every day. You could be thankful and joyful every minute of every day. Give joyful thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. It gets better. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. This is kingdom stuff. This is kingdom mindset. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Wow. I could stop there, really, because I think if you all got a grip of that, you'd be standing on your chairs, shouting hallelujah, getting up and realizing and recognizing what God's speaking over you. Something that's dead in you would come to life because you believe the word of God. But since you're not standing on your chairs, I'll have to carry on. Paul may be writing to the Colossian church, but God's speaking to us right now. God's speaking to us, and he's talking about changes. And Paul is reminding the church, and he's reminding you today, that amazing changes take place in the life of everyone when they're born again. These are the changes that you can expect. This is the truth of the life that you can expect to live. Kingdom, 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 kingdom of light, kingdom of the Son. Whoa. Awesome changes. And they're amazing. They come to everybody when they're born again. We're going to look at three of the changes that Paul mentions in these verses. And if you get a grip of this, things are going to change for you. Just because you're going to start changing how you think about things, what you believe and what you speak. What you speak is what you get. You speak dietary, that's great. Yeah. You speak dire despondency, depression, doom and gloom, and that's what you're going to get. You talk about poor me, I'm weary, I'm worn out, I'm fed up, and that's how you're going to be. Oh, it's so easy. Why don't we get it? Change your language and something's going to come alive. Something's going to change in you. Because you've got all these things. We need to get a grip of these life-changing truths. Let them rattle your bones. Make the right noise. The truth will change your life and your perspective on living for God. Can you imagine a church that really believes this, who's joyfully praising God, giving thanks to the Father, understanding what it is to live in the kingdom of light and the kingdom of the Son? Yeah. Is anybody alive in here? Yeah. Just blow on the person next to you. Well, there's some movement, so there must be life. And I can hear breath, so I don't think they need praying for resurrection, but they probably need a quick poke with your elbow. So let's look at what changes. Verse 12. He has qualified us. You don't need a university degree. You might need a university degree for some stuff in the world. But for the stuff of the kingdom, Jesus qualified us. You didn't qualify yourself. The Father qualified us. I'd like to put QF after my name. Qualified by the Father. Lynn Eveson, QF. Sounds good, doesn't it? I might write it on my letterheads and they'll all go, what on earth is that? I'll be able to tell them then. Glory! Our lives have been changed because we have been qualified to take part in something great, an inheritance. Yeah. who loves an inheritance. We've got the most amazing inheritance in the whole entire realms of creation. We have the most amazing inheritance. Glory. And we get a share in it. And we become his holy people. That's the truth about you according to God. And he moves us into the kingdom of light. Now, none of these things were true before we were born again. We certainly were not qualified to share in the inheritance of God's holy people or living in the kingdom of light. You just weren't. Until you were born again, you were not qualified. But God had it waiting for you to wake up. To arise into it, to say yes to Jesus. When you were born again, this is what you received. Ephesians 2:1 says, before this point, we were dead in our trespasses. We were dead in sin. We were in darkness. Oh, I don't think you're hearing what God's done for you. I think you're so used to it that you've forgotten how radical and drastic and life-changing it is. Verse 13. He has delivered us. When you're delivered from something. You're delivered out of something, and you're also delivered into something. When a baby's delivered, it comes out of one place and into another pretty radically. Well, I want to tell you that being born again into the kingdom is equally as radical and drastic and life-changing. Something new. He's rescued us, it says here. You needed rescuing. You were not the man of power for the hour. He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. You live in a different realm now. You live in a different kingdom now. You belong to the King, and he loves the Son, and you are now a son. That is life-changing. It's living above something. And we need to rebirth our thinking and realign our attitude and recharge that which God has given charge of. And we need to reform our thinking, our speaking and our language so that we get a grip of this truth and live in the privileged place that God has made possible for us. And it gets better still. Because in this place, when we're born again, we're now in Christ. This is really basic stuff, isn't it? Why does God want us to revisit this? To get a grip of it. Yeah. So that we live it and so that we are desperate for other people to be rescued into it. Last week, Pastor Shane brought a really straight, down the line, excellent message about evangelism. But do you know what? Unless you know what you've got and know how important it is for others to get it, you can have all the great messages about evangelism that you can sit and listen to, and you just get fat on your seat. Until we get a grip of what it is that God has done for us, the change that he's wrought in us, the amazing difference that he has worked in us, you're not the same as you were. But do you know what? Neither have you got to where God has got for you yet. But we're on the journey. And in the Son he loves, we have redemption. Redeemed, bought back, paid for, rescued. We have redemption. Oh, and this bit I love because I so need this. The forgiveness of sin. Thank you, Jesus. Not that I want to sin more so I can remember how much more I've been forgiven. But I want to remember how much I've been forgiven. So that I live in a new place. I speak a new language. I live a new truth. Ephesians 2 says that he gave us... Let's read it. New King James coming up. Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5. Because I love this. Ephesians 2, verse 1 says this. And you, say me. Now tell the person next to you, listen, because God's talking to you as well. Oh, do you know, I can hear a new language. God's talking to you, a new language. And you he made alive who were dead in trespass and sin. That's like double sin. That's a double fault. You he made alive. Poke the person next to you. Are they alive? Cool. And then verse 4 says this. God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespass. You know God still loved you? Glory. How amazing. He didn't look and say, you dirty, filthy, rotten scum of the earth. He looked and he said, those are my children. My love for them overflows. I have got to do something to rescue and redeem and restore them. I don't care what it takes. I'm going the distance. Wow. Even when we were dead in sin, he still loved us. God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. If only we could understand that God loves us. I don't care what you feel. This is the truth. It's written in his book. It's his word of life. God loves you. Full stop. But God is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. I just want to keep reading it. Because you know when you feel loved is one thing, but when you know you're loved, now that's something different. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is the greatest change and exchange known to man. From death to life, from darkness to light, from sin to holiness. From the kingdom of the enemy into the kingdom of the Son. Why aren't you jumping up and down? If I was in Africa now, they would all be going crazy. Absolutely crazy, because they understand in their spirit what it is to live in the dynamic of the kingdom of the Son, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, over and above the mess, the dry bones that are there. They know their God's going to do something. I'll take you all with me next time. And this great exchange all happens when a sinner comes to Christ. Why wouldn't we be standing on our seats at work, at school, in the shop, speaking a new language to people, speaking new life to people, speaking about the God we know to people? Is that it? Speaking about the God we know to people. All you need are these three verses and you know everything that God's done for you. You don't need 10 lectures and an entertaining sermon every Sunday. You just need to know the truth. And this truth is going to set you free. free from limitation, free from inhibitions, free from being a dry bone, free from being in a valley, free from being dead, free to arise and conquer. I want to belong to the conquering kingdom. Oh, why would anybody want to belong to the depressed and denied department? There's not one in heaven. There's not a depressed and denied department in heaven. God just said that to me. It's not even in my notes. That's a revelation. I do not want to belong to that department. I belong to the victorious, conquering King who rules and reigns and governs. I belong to the kingdom of his Son despite what I've done. And he's changed me to be part of the alive, arising, glorious, victorious army. You need to write that down. I do not belong to the depressed and denied department. And if you knew you didn't, your faces would look different. And your language would change. The change that God brings about is literally new creation. You are a new creation. You don't need new clothes or a new house or a new car. You are the new creation. You're it. You're the new everything. In fact, new clothes, a new house, a new car will not make you fulfilled. I'm not talking about happy. I'm quite happy when I get a new car for a moment or two. But it will not make you fulfilled. Only living in your destiny. Only living in the place that God has destined for you. Not the doom, gloom and depression department, but the victory valley. You know, valleys of victory as well. They're getting you somewhere. They're getting you through. You are brand new. You need to give thanks and you need to give the gift to somebody else. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
I think we're getting there. Thank you, God. We're getting there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We're blessed. Do you know, it just gets better and better. You know, the list of things that we are heirs to, that we have inherited, include every spiritual blessing. We don't even know some of them yet. There's still some blessings to discover. Because there's always something new in God. And the list is endless, I believe. Every spiritual blessing of the heavenly places is our inheritance. Our gift, our call, what we've been qualified to handle. Whoa. What we've been qualified to give away. Awesome. I just want to walk around and think, spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. See, you're sad I missed you out now, aren't you? But do you know what? God doesn't miss you out. You receive every spiritual blessing of the heavenly places. Are you living like it? Are you speaking like it? Is it your declaration? Is it your vision? Is it your life purpose? Are you going to give it away? Because here's the deal. The Father loved us. It's so simple. The Son died for us. The Spirit filled us. And together they've equipped us to get the job on earth done.
Yeah, come on.
So we arrive in heaven with loads of sons.
Yeah.
Loads and loads and loads of sons.
Yeah.
That's it. It's no more difficult than that. You don't need to jump through this strategy and that strategy and the other strategy, because Jesus just gave us the truth, the way and the life. We speak it, walk in it, and live it. I'm sorry it's so simple. Because there's no excuse, is there, when it's so simple?
No.
Glory to God. Wow. Our situation has been dramatically changed. We did nothing, deserved nothing, and God did everything. And when you change your language and walk in the truth, he'll do it for you too. He'll do it with you, through you, despite you. He's going to do it. He did it for you, didn't he? Well, why are you just easier than everybody else, seemingly? I don't think so. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved, through faith and not of yourselves. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. It's a gift from God. We're not saved by works, in case anyone should boast. Verse 10, this is the hammer blow. We are his workmanship, created or recreated in Christ Jesus for something. For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, we don't have to labour under the burden of them. It didn't say stagger along with them. Didn't say crawl on your knees because it's such hard work. It says walk in him. Oh, walk in him. Walk in the truth. Walk in the way. Walk in the life. Walk in the work that God's prepared for you. Walk as though you believe you've got a purpose. Speak life over it. Live it. Demonstrate it. Get a grip of it. Thank you, Jesus. Do you love a good drama? I love a good drama. Who watched? I sense I watch TV all the time. Please, anybody listening out there, I rarely watch TV. But I watched Call the Midwife. Oh, man alive. It was a good drama, wasn't it? It was really dramatic. Like everything, you were like willing them all to, for it all to come good for them all. And you were like, well, if you were a girl, you were like breathing with the breaths and you were like, oh, man alive. It was dramatic, wasn't it? You love a good drama. Well, do you know what? The Bible is the greatest drama ever written. And John Mackay, one of the greatest Bible teachers I've ever sat under, called it the drama of salvation. You know, some people just love their life to be dramatic, don't they? They just do. They love a good drama. But do you know what? They're not speaking the right language over their drama. If you love a good drama, get into the best one in heaven or earth. The drama of salvation. You were saved. We were saved so that we too could watch that amazing dramatic change of bones that are exceedingly dry and dead and on the floor, and in a valley, and looking pretty hopeless, arise. What kind of drama is that, that God should ask us to walk in it with him? Amazing. You get a starring role next to Jesus. You're seated beside him. Got everything that he had. Every blessing that's in heaven. Everything that we need. Oh, come on, Jesus. We're saved by grace for something worthwhile. Yes. Something worth spending your life on. Something worth spending your time on. Something worth spending your money on. Because as far as I know, there's no pockets in shrouds. Do you know what? I heard a really good joke. Girls will like this. This very rich man died and he wanted to take all his money with him. And he said to his wife, I want to take everything with me. I want it all in the coffin with me. Very well, darling, she said, that's fine. And buried him. And off he went. And next week, she got this massive diamond on her finger. And her friend said, where did you get that from? Oh, she said, my husband said he wanted a big stone. This is it. I thought he wanted all his money buried with him. She said, oh, yes, I did that, yeah. I wrote the check out for every last penny. You're not going to take your money with you. Do some good with it while you're here. I don't want to check in my coffin. Glory. I am now lost. Regardless of where we might be in our spiritual walk today, God's got something even better for us. Remember, there was a time when you were trapped in darkness, in sin, and the road before you was heading for hell. Remember those things and rejoice. Be glad. Give joyful thanks. Can you imagine a church living in that kind of joy and thankfulness? It'd be awesome. It would be more amazing than bouncing around on a Sunday. You'd be bouncing around every day. People would think they're crazy. And come on, we need a crazy church. The reality is that God has delivered us from the power of darkness. Amen. And Paul reveals a glorious truth when he says we've been delivered from bondage. You were once a prisoner of sin. You now live free as a child of God. Why would we not want everybody to move in that, to live in that, to have that freedom, to have that life, to get that revelation, to know that there's a dramatic change and to know that there's something that God's got for them to do? Why should God give us anything to do? You know, good job he didn't give me charge of a garden. I'd kill every plant stone dead. But he's given me other work to do. In his garden of life, he's given me loads of stuff to do, and I need to change my language about what I'm doing. You know, God's a life changer. Yeah. Jesus reached into our lost situation and drew us to the Father. Jesus reached out and rescued you. Jesus breathed his spirit breath into you. Yeah. Jesus aligned your life and he's calling you to stand. A mighty army. Yeah. Amen. Do you and God are in a majority? Yeah. It's amazing. And now we live in that freedom, I hope. But here's one for Steve. Because we're in a new kingdom, we're subject to a new king. The King of Kings. We're no longer subject to the darkness. We're alive in the light. We're no longer yoked in sin, in chains on the way to hell. Because of what Jesus came. Jesus said, is there not a cause? You are it. And because of that cause, you're free. Whoa. We're free. I'm free. We're still not there. We're still not leaping up and down, dancing, shouting. And I'm going to shoot the time, if you know. Need to change your thinking, change your attitude, change your language, change your receptor, change, because God wants us to change. He wants us to know the truth that is going to set us free. Yeah. Colossians 1 and verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Yeah. It doesn't have through his blood. In the New Living Translation. And do you know what? You cannot miss out the blood. I understand the translation and the ease of reading. But you cannot miss out the blood. That's what paid the price. That's what was shed for you. Everybody who received the cup this morning, certainly from me, said, this is the blood of Christ. Yeah. It was shed for you. Yeah. Yeah. It's not just a liturgy. It's not just a bit of a mantra. It's the truth. Yeah. You received redemption and forgiveness through the blood. There's no other way. Your good works won't earn it for you. God prepared good works for us to walk in. but we have to come through the blood. Yes. Otherwise, they're works of the flesh, they're not works of the Spirit. Through the blood. We enjoy redemption through the blood, purchased out of slavery. Do you know there are still people being trafficked and living in slavery in our world, in the natural today? But there are still people in the supernatural living in slavery and bondage today. If we can reach just one of them and show them the route to rescue, how amazing is that? Because one can put 1,000 to flight. Amazing. So you don't need an evangelism seminar. You need a revelation of what Jesus has done. And who God is. You need to change your language and your vision about why you do things. You need to get a vision of what we call to. You're a carrier of the presence of God and the blessings of heaven. You're a carrier of the word of life. You're a carrier and you call to hold it out. Hold it out. The word says holding out the word of life, not this is mine, I've got it in here, I'm holding it. Holding out the word of life to those who are perishing. Forgiveness of sins. Every evil thing we ever did, every mark that stood against us has been professionally removed. Washed away. By the blood of Jesus. We can't leave out the blood. That's what washes us clean. Cleanses us. Fits us for heaven. It's part of our inheritance. The blood is part of our inheritance. It's part of the heavenly blessing. Part of the spiritual blessing. When you come to the communion table, it's a mystery. Too deep for us to understand. But it's also a truth that we can take a hold of and walk in the freedom of life and liberty. Just tell the person next to you, I'm clean. No sniffing under armpits to check. I'm clean. I'm clean in the eyes of God as if I'd never sinned. What a freedom. What a yoke removed. How we can stand. Now we can stand. I'm clean. Clean in the eyes of God. As if that sin had never been. Now I'm called to walk as though it never ever will be again. And strengthened to do just that. I'm strengthened to talk differently. I'm strengthened to change what I see, what I speak, and how I live. What a thing to rejoice over. What a thing to give thanks for. We need to be thankful to God. These things are precious and they're priceless. Do you understand that it's the pearl of great price that one man got revelation of and sold everything? Pearl of great price. Price has been paid in full. Are you ready to change? Can I just ask the worship team if they come, please? Do you know, I just get a sense change in the atmosphere. The word that Faye brought this morning, seek first the kingdom of God. That would be a change, wouldn't it? Seek first the kingdom of God. That would change our perspective. Let's move to giving rather than getting. That would change our perspective. But, you know, we can try as we might to do those things, but without the revelation of why, it will be a chore. This is the why. God strengthens us for the how. This change in the air. God's changing things. If this word has been reaching you, something's shifted in you today. And I know that the word of God can go the distance.
Yes.
So I know that things are shifting. Yes. Things are shifting out the way that have been a hindrance. Has Jesus made this change in your life? Have you trusted him for salvation? A couple of yeses. If you don't know whether they're yes, just get with God, because they need to be yes. Has Jesus made a difference in your life?
Yes.
Come on. Because of what he's done, are you living the change?
Yes.
Has your language changed? Yes. Are you out of the doom and gloom department?
Yes.
Angus, could you just put the next slide up for me, please? These aren't the verses in all their fullness, but they're a declaration.
Yeah.
We've heard about what God has done. This is who he is. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. All things were created by Jesus and for him. And he is the head of the body, the church. That's who he is. He's boss in this place. He's the head of the body. You're the church.
Yeah.
Do you know when you talk badly of the church, you're talking badly about yourself
yeah.
and Jesus.
Yeah.
Your language needs to change. Has Jesus wrought this change in you? Are you living the change? If there hasn't been a change in your life, you have not met the Jesus of the Bible. And there's not an imitation. There's only one.
Yeah.
This truth will change your life. It will bring you into a new place of freedom because it is the word and it works. So whatever has been a limitation in you, Jesus has removed.
That's right.
You're free to receive this word joyfully and gladly and to give thanks. You're free to receive your inheritance, every spiritual blessing. It's yours. You basically walk in, open the fridge and help yourself. That is the truth. You have got every spiritual blessing of the
yes,
heavenly places.
Right.
You have got access to the food cupboard. Don't just pick and choose, eat the lot. It's not being greedy. If you need to be saved today, you can be. You can come to Jesus and he'll change you by his power.
That's right.
Yeah.
If there's a need to come and thank him for all that he's done for you, you can do that as well. There's no better place than this. For being able to rejoice and give thanks. But are you giving thanks? Has your language changed? Are you rejoicing? Even if you're looking at the valley of dry bones, are you believing that that's going to shift? That's going to stand up and live? That's not going to look like that. The minute I'm speaking the word of God and his breath enters in, something's going to change. That sickness can't stand because there's no sickness in heaven. It's not one of the heavenly blessings. There's no poverty in heaven. It's not even a department. There's not a poor me department either. There's no poverty of thinking. There's just plenty to access. And if you recognize that you've been living at less than his best, today, get into the change. Get back to that place of your first love. Who fell in love with Jesus the minute they understood and encountered his love? If you didn't, you haven't met the Jesus of the Bible.
That's right.
Somebody sold you a poor imitation. Because
yeah.
The love that God has for you is so great, so immense, so awesome, so expensive, so costly, that it places a demand on us, a pull on us, to love him as he loves us. You need then to fall in love afresh with Jesus today. You need to change. Let him be the lover of your soul. Ephesians 2:10. If you don't realize that he's created you anew, you need to come today and let him work something new in you. Ephesians 2:10, if you don't realize that he's created good works for you to walk in, you just need to get a fresh vision. Amen. Of the purpose of God for you to be fruitful. He's created it. He's created a design purpose for you, especially for you. There's a job that only you can do. It was created for you, purposed for you, and you're going to be fruitful in it. You need to walk in it today. All of us, I think, probably need to change our language and our declaration. Because God promised those bones would live. It was a journey through that valley until they did. You might be journeying through something right now, but God's going to come through.
Yes.
Because he can't do anything else. You just can't do anything else. Maybe you need to change your declaration over your family, your job, your finances, your marriage, your relationships, your ministry. Maybe you've been speaking negatively and critically without fully understanding what it produces. You might need to repent and be renewed today. Repentance is just joyful. It just washes it away. Criticism and negativity are not of the kingdom of our God. They're not one of the spiritual blessings. There's not a criticism and negativity department in heaven, because it doesn't release blessing, ever. Are your hopes and dreams scattered like bones? I'm reading these because this is what God said to me. Are your hopes and dreams scattered like bones? The vultures picked over them. Out of alignment. Today, bring them into alignment with the word of God. He's not a dream scatterer, he's a dream giver. He's the one who is hope, and he never denies us. Sometimes the delay is because something needs to change in us. Today we're going to come to the one who brings these four things: realignment, reconnection, resurrection, and redemption.
Come on.
And whatever the need in your life may be today, there's only one place and one person that you can bring them to.
Yes.
For this kind of change. Got it in one, Brian. Jesus. I don't know if I've been speaking to anybody today. You don't need to put your hand up. I've been preaching myself happy. Because this is reason to rejoice and to give thanks. We had a great conference this week at Kingdom Faith. We had an awesome time. And one of the things that Andy Elms spoke about was being refined. He talked about walking through a corridor. And that from when God gives a promise, to the time that that promise comes into being is a walk. He used walking through a corridor. Well, today, I'm just going to use walking through a valley of dry bones because God's spoken something over it. And he spoke about walking through, Andy Am spoke about walking through a corridor and that God was refining something in us. And why this particular message just like, it hit me like a ton of gold. Because I had texted out to some leaders and friends in the church that we're not getting gold dust here. We're getting pure gold.
Yes, that's good.
Yeah. And the very next message that evening, Andy was speaking about gold being formed in us. You want to get that vision of what's been formed in you in this valley. And you want to get the vision of what God's going to do with it. Resurrection life is arising. Yeah. When you get the vision, you'll stop grumbling about the dry bones. When you get God's perspective, you'll stop moaning, groaning and complaining. Because what hindered the Israelites from entering into their promise? Moaning, groaning, grumbling, complaining.
Yep.
Going to change your language, church.
Come on.
We're going to change our language. Let's stand together.